And the greeting of the Lord's Apostle Paul to the Christians in the city of Ephesus. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, who are believers in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. These letters were meant to be read in their entirety to the congregations at the time, and people sat and listened and were just not able to do that so much anymore. So we have to jump in on only a few verses toward the end of the letter. But in the typical fashion, the Lord's Apostle Paul has talked about being saved by grace through faith alone. That would be chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 you memorized. To do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. And then when he gets to the end of his letter, he talks about what this means for our life. That's the sanctification part of living a holy life in Christ. So we heard that from Ephesians 6, 10 to 18 in our second reading. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He tells us where our struggle is, what our weapons are, and finally, the tactics that we need to keep persevering in our intercession for all the saints. We'll repeat that as we read through the sermon now. Let's pray. My help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. It's that time in our society again, as if we were not divided enough now. I don't need to tell you, it's an election year. Will they never stop when I keep saying stop on those texts? They just find a new phone number and ask me the same question again. Tell me something about myself, which wasn't even true. Really? Come on. Where are the good guys? Where are the ones that we could really trust with power, real power? Everybody seems to have this attitude that if only our guys were elected, they'd have the power and then we'd set it right. We'd straighten everything out. And read a little history. Back to the founding fathers. Check out John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. Politics has never been the answer. Because what happens, let's say, if a good ruler starts and then changes his mind down the line, you can end up like some of the Roman emperors that might have been okay to Christianity when the wife and the kids were into it, but then changed his mind later and murdered the wife and kids. There's got to be something else, and there's got to be a better leader, because there's only ever been one perfect leader. There's only ever been one leader who could handle the kind of war that we're actually in, the worst war that ever struck humanity. Started in the garden, you know it, where the whole human race was killed because Adam listened to his wife instead of listening to God. And the Lord God promised that a champion would come, there would be a leader who would come as the seed of the woman to crush the serpent's head. Only God knew what he was talking about, but you and I know now. We got the perfect leader. What we need are better followers. We need to be better followers with better followership. Because the Lord is actually armed us already, and we just need to be aware of this, armed and ready for this battle with the unseen, the battle against the unseen, the schemes of the evil one. So the Lord says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And that is a special kind of power, which in this illustration, I'm afraid we would have to have animation. Because you couldn't do this in real life, and the kids could tell you that. All right. You've all seen cartoons of killer whales. Some of you maybe have actually seen them in real life. They're well named. They can attack boats and stuff like that. Killer whales. What if the killer whales, with all their strength and power that they get from, you know, eating stuff out of the sea, were just swimming around? And all of a sudden, there was this lightning bolt that hit the sea and gave them all superpower. superpower killer whales. That's more like what God wants his troops to be like against Satan and his guppy millions from hell, his minions, those guppy minions, super whales. Where do you get that kind of power? It's got to be special. It's interesting in Ephesians when the Lord's Apostle Paul writes under inspiration, he uses pretty much every word for power in the Greek language. There's stored power like in a battery. There's power physical. There's power that comes in and actually does something. And then there's the authority power to use that power that you have. And it goes on like that. Lots of power. And you need to be strong in the Lord. Because our biggest problem is we think that it's going to be under our own power. And we always get into trouble with that. Just think of a disciple like Peter. Never me, Lord, I'll never deny you. You know the rest of the story. If we rely on ourselves, we'll never have that power. So the Lord says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. This fallen angel from hell who has far more power than any human being could have. But his power is nothing against the Lord Christ. Satan's power basically amounts to the fear of death. If you wonder why people do wild and crazy things, it's primarily because they think this is their last time around. And you know, when you got to go for the gusto, if I can quote an old beer commercial. While you have a chance, grab hold of it because you're only going to get, you know, you've heard it. People just feel that way, and so they... It's the fear of death. But those early video games continue today. I could never play them. Don't have the hand-eye coordination, but you know what I'm talking about. When they killed Pac-Man, wasn't that it? And he always springs back to life again. How many lives do you get? Well, as many as you want. You're going to just keep coming back to life. And this is what Jesus did. The worst fear and power of Satan was with death. He used it on Adam and Eve. Death came into the world. God blames Adam for that. And what does Jesus do? He basically lets Satan blow him away and then gets right back up again. He lives. And because he lives, we too shall live. And God accepted his sacrifice in our place that took away all the guilt and the shame of our sins that made us afraid of God, made us want to try to hide like Adam and Eve were so much alike. And now he says, I want you armed and dangerous. You got to know who the enemy is. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Here's a problem too. We get so mad at each other. We think our problem is with the boss or the government or neighbors or the spouse or the kids or the parents or whatever the case may be. That's not the enemy. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. For this reason, take up the full armor of God. See, our problem comes down to just two things that the Lord says summarize the whole matter of what God demands from every human being. Okay? Summarize in one word, love. You know it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Not complicated. But we fail miserably. On our best day, trying our best, we're still like hikers who fall down into some chasm where you're only yards away when you land on that ledge, only yards away from molten lava. You're not going to be able to climb out. You don't even have the strength to climb a ladder to get out. Jesus sees the whole human race there. That's the bad news. The good news is that God sent his Son down from heaven to come right down here into the heat with us, and in his strength, pick us up on his shoulders as the Lord our righteousness and carry us up and out to deliver us for a new life of love and faithfulness with our faithful God. And our guilt turns to gratitude, and our sin and suffering that we cause to each other, He takes away again and again and again. He died once, but His mercy keeps on taking away the sin and giving us His righteousness by faith. He lifts us out of that deep chasm. He says, this reason, take up the full armor of God. The problem is our human arrogance. Well, I did it once. Or like one member, he's now in heaven, thank God. But when I try to talk to him about these things, he say, well, Pastor, I'm not Jesus. No, that's your problem. You got to be righteous as Jesus, God's own son, or you can't get into heaven. You've got to be perfect. Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. That's Old Testament, but New Testament, Jesus says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Not become, but be. How? Well, the prophets talked about it. Jeremiah twice said the Messiah would be the Lord our righteousness. There's no room for arrogance here. But boy, we have a problem with it. Remember that story about that farmer who was just doing his work, minding his own business, and some state highway guy shows up and starts demanding of the farmer, I got to see your farm. We're going to put a highway through here. And the farmer just says, okay, but don't go in that pasture over there. You see this card? This card says I can go on any farm, any place, anywhere in the state. Farmer just shrugs, goes back to his chores. Well, not long after that, you're hearing screams from that pasture. And that official is running hard for the fence with the prize bull right behind him. Farmers I've known would have said the same thing. I can just hear it. The farmer shouts, show him your card! Show him your card! I don't know if it ever happened, but do you realize that when you are fighting this battle with the unseen, you have a better chance of escaping somebody's prize bull than you have of escaping the lion from hell. The lion from hell is always hard against the lion of the tribe of Judah, even though the lion from hell lost his teeth when Christ rose again. And he can't help himself. The lion from hell is always lying. That's what he always did. He's a liar from the beginning, Jesus says. He's always talking, always saying stuff. Hollywood loves it. And oh, the lion from hell loves it when Hollywood just presents him as entertainment. But watch at the promises of that liar, that somehow the passions of this body have to be fulfilled, or else how can you live? One man asked, if choice is really what they want, why not make the choice before making the baby? Too logical? But the lion from hell says, don't tell me what to do. Passes that on. And how does it always end? The passion of Hollywood and the sinful sex that ignores one man and one woman for life as God's divine design always has violence and sadness, and it never ends well. And if there is a happy ending, you can count on the fact that you're going to have 95% problem and maybe a few seconds at the end, and that's all that we can handle, because we got to have problems. We can't have solutions in heaven and wonderful Jesus. Ay, ay, ay. But it is a toothless lion. And another apostle of our Lord Jesus tells us this. This is Peter. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. resist him, standing firm in the faith. Because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of grace, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the glory. And in Christ Jesus. Amen. So you stand firm, and here are the weapons. Stand on the evil day, because there will be an evil day for everyone, right? After you've done everything, to be able to stand. That's standing in firm courage and strength. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. How are you going to do that? We've got to have that truth. Jesus says we can know it. Continue in my word. You'll know the truth. You're my disciples then, and the truth will set you free. Everybody thinks their life is just going to go on and on. And the Bible says God has written eternity into the heart of man. I remember a conversation when we were canvassing Wyoming, Minnesota. Finally turned that over to Pastor Gobrish when he was still at Christ Lutheran, and they daughtered the congregation in Hugo. But whenever I was in those neighborhoods, I always wanted to wave to the car driving by and just tell them why I was in their neighborhood. One man was telling me that he was going to do this, he was going to do that, and I just kept asking him, what are you going to do after that? What are you going to do after that? And after that. Jeremiah asked this question to these hard-headed, stubborn, unrepentant Israelites in Jerusalem when a hammer of God's justice is about to come down. Jeremiah says, what are you going to do in the end? What are you going to do after that? He keeps telling me his plans. Finally, he gets to the end and there's no more plans left. And he looks at me and says, I see what you mean. I said, yeah, that's God's question for you. What are you going to do in the end? Have you put your faith in Jesus as your Savior so that there's no end there? So you can go beyond that to grace and glory. Now see, that's the truth. Everybody knows they're going to die. They don't know that they're going to face the judgment either in joy and gladness with Jesus as your Redeemer or in abject terror, because torment awaits and the wrath of God afterwards. That's the truth. And put the breastplate of righteousness, get it fastened in place. Armor, body armor. They needed it then, we need it now, because it protects the heart and all the vital organs. And Satan wants in the worst way to make you despair so that you can only remember the first half of repentance, the being sorry part, and not remember the second half, which is really more important. Yes, sorrow over sin, but faith and forgiveness, trust in the mercy of God. That's what Jesus wants for all of us. If you only have sorrow and despair, it's like Judas who hung himself. But with faith in Jesus and his forgiveness, you wait as Peter did until the Lord's mercy restores you once again. And Jesus will be there quick. Watch the prophets. As soon as the confession of David came out, I've sinned against the Lord, Nathan the pastor said to him, the Lord has also taken away your sin. Yes, there's consequences in David's life. He has to be reminded, but that's reminders of the mercy of God under the breastplate of righteousness. And with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. By nature, we're all like barefoot on a gravel road. You don't want to run there. That's kind of when people say things like one voter in a voters meeting here said, we got to watch out for number one. He was basically saying why we needed to keep all our money here. He didn't last long in this congregation. He got really frustrated because he didn't have much support. We're not number one. Jesus is number one, and whatever God gives us, we're using to reach out for the gospel. They need to hear. Let it all be that. Barefoot on a gravel road is kind of like somebody saying, let the pastor do it. I only work so long. It doesn't work very well. I've been amazed over the years how much better ideas are when they come from somebody else. Maybe I got a little piece of it. Maybe somebody has the next part. But it sure works well, doesn't it, when we can work together and pull that plow in the same direction? Or what about people that will say, let somebody else's kid go off to a foreign country as a missionary? Separation's hard. But when the gospel gets to your heart and the good news that you are fully and freely forgiven by God in Christ, you want everybody to know about it. And all of a sudden, what can I do? That's how kingdom workers started. That's how Lutheran Women's Missionary Society started. It was lay people looking at the pastors doing all this, like African missionaries putting in floors and roofs on the buildings and stuff, and the laymen say, hey, we can do that. So kingdom workers, builders for Christ, that's where that came from, right? We can do that. Your feet are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. I want to run with this. I want to run with the gospel. And then the shield of faith. I was watching a documentary on ancient warriors explaining why the early Roman soldiers lost before they could start an empire. The Celts or Celts would come, Celts, with these long spears, but the Roman soldiers in those days had a little tiny shield. And so the spears could get through and they were not much help against flaming arrows and all that stuff. So just for fun, I Googled military formation turtle. The turtle, I don't know the Latin term, but that's what they called the formation a few centuries later when the Roman soldiers' shields were from here almost to the ground, completely covering them. Google military formation turtle. You'll get a link to a video game, a more modern one. Can't play, but I can watch. And you get right in the middle of a squad of Roman soldiers attacking a city across a bridge and over a moat. And they've all got these long shields. And they're moving in this formation across the bridge over the moat. And the officer of the Roman soldiers shouts, "Shields!" And the ones in front plant theirs there. And the guys behind put the roof over their heads with their shields. And the enemy fires the flaming arrows. And they stick in the shields and they go out. I'm not so convinced that the video game had it right, because then all the Roman soldiers are throwing these spears across and they're like hitting nothing. They're just like throwing them over. It's kind of dumb, but you know, historically maybe. But I think the turtle is what the Lord is speaking about here, because Satan is always trying to remind you of every single stupid thing you said or did. Happens to me too. I have to pray sometimes, Lord, please help them not to remember that stupid thing I said. Remember Professor Dan Deutschlander telling us pastors one time before he went to heaven that he wondered where the cross would be in his retirement when somebody else was taking care of everything that he needed and all stuff in a facility. And said, he said, the cross is in my memory. Because the flaming arrows come flying and you need to be under that shield, and you got a big one. You got a shield that would put out all the flaming arrows of the evil one, extinguish them. And the helmet of salvation, that's hope. Because no matter what happens or how hopeless it looks around us, you've got the hope of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's not for here and now. And the sword of the Spirit, double-edged sword, cuts both ways. The glory of God's people to wield that sword in Psalm 149, it slashes human pride and comes back and slashes despair. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. But all this does you no good if your machinery runs out of fuel. Or if you got the fuel in the tank and you can't get it into the, you know, fuel tank. At every opportunity, pray in the Spirit with every kind of prayer and petition. Stay alert for the same reason, and always keep on pressing forward in your intercession for all the saints. Do prayers have to be long? Elijah didn't think so in our first reading. What if you can't believe the way you should? Well, pray like the Father did. Lord, I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Perfect prayer. Perfect champion. Lord's Prayer. You can't do better than that. But I plead with you finally here to remember what Paul asks at the end, because every faithful pastor is pleading still to this day. Pray also for me, that when I open my mouth, a message will be given to me that boldly reveals the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may speak about it boldly, as it is necessary for me to speak. Armed and dangerous, but with the tactics that alone the Lord can give us. Not me and my efforts, but Lord, you and your power. To use these weapons to be fully armed, as word and sacrament will always arm us. So no matter what the schemes of the devil may be, these are weapons eternal that don't tear down and break things. They build up and give life, and they're all yours. Lord Jesus, make us better followers, fully armed with you. Amen.